You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
How's everybody doing today? I'm so excited to be over here at the Big Indoor Street Show. We're here live at Purple Haze Radio. Super pumped at all the things that are going on. We got all these guys from the glass industry hanging out. And super, super pumped for the guests I have today. But we also have one of our other show hosts, Michael Miller from the Canna Business Show. What's up, Michael? How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. You know, Andrew, I don't even know where I am when I wake up each day. I think this is the third show in 3 weeks. We started a couple weeks ago at the International MJ BizCon, 30 countries in Toronto, Canada. Extraordinary. We'll have a whole show on that in the upcoming weeks. Then we just got back literally yesterday night from Portland, the Science and Technology Cannabis Conference, where no brands, no consumers. All it was, if you can believe, guy in white coats, researchers and doctors, smart people. I didn't know what the fuck they were saying most of it, but I learned one thing. Marijuana and CBD are really good for you.
Absolutely. And how was it going to Canada? That must have been an experience to see now a country that's going to be going legal. How was the buzz around there? Were people excited? Was a lot of money talking, things popping around, or what was the situation in Canada?
You know, pop is the perfect word because I'm one of the few out there who are getting angered at, because I'm one of the guys who's saying that this could be the biggest bubble since the tulip debacle in the late 1600s.
So explain that.
You know, well, you know, Canada is a wonderful country. I love it, but great hockey players, great Tim Horton coffee, great maple syrup, and great moose. But, you know, before that, you didn't have a lot of multi-billion dollar valuations. What they're doing is growing. And the reason they're growing dollars is because American companies are going over there to go public. And there's a eagerness and desperation to buy into that growing scenario. The day I was there, literally, Canopy got a $5 billion investment. Not $5 million, $5 billion investment.
That's a little bit of change,
from
right?
From an American beer company.
A little bit of change.
Beer
now.
Sales are down. Yeah. Wine sales are down. Alcohol sales are down. Marijuana is the new big thing.
Absolutely.
But when I had a little chat with Bruce Linton, the CEO, who was... a little bit cocky, a little bit comfortable with a $5 billion injection into his company. And he was being followed around like the Pied Piper. So
I can imagine. So all of a sudden everybody reads about a company getting $5 billion bucks and you're sitting at a show.
You're not
a
kidding.
A lot of motherfuckers are going to hit you up. But talking about people who definitely get hit up themselves, we have two cool guests that came in, started what I find is one of the most definitely legendary leaders in Vegas as far as what they created. And why don't you guys give a shout out, talk a little bit about what you got going on.
Cool. So my name is Matt Morgan. I'm a 33-year-old entrepreneur out of Missoula, Montana.
Shout out to Montana.
You are way too successful
yeah.
for being 33, Matt. That is just wrong.
My brother-in-law.
Really wrong.
My brother-in-law is from Missoula, so fucking shout out
that's
to
what's
Missoula.
Up. That's what's up.
And is Montana, did Montana go medical or rec?
Yeah, Montana went medical in 2004.
Yeah, they used to be pretty hard, fucking hardcore, though, right? If you got in trouble there, but now it's like a lot better, right?
Yeah,
obviously.
So they were ultra-conservative.
Super.
They still kind of are, so the industry started really blowing up in 2008.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was the hottest industry in the state by far. I mean, there wasn't anything, you know, besides farming and timber and mills and railroad.
And now is the economy in there a lot revolved around cannabis? Or have they embraced it and, like, are happy with what it's going to, or now?
So it exploded. They put it back in the bag in 2010. Now they're rolling out a new program, but it's still been very hindering, in my opinion.
Okay.
I am not doing business in Montana, if
sure,
that gives you any
sure.
inclination.
Absolutely.
And, of course, I'd
Absolutely.
Love to have something in my home state, but I just don't see the benefit at this point in time
what
with the current program.
What made you decide, of all the states, we go from Montana, such a beautiful fucking place, to Vegas. Now, well, I lived in Vegas 26 years myself, so I could understand the appeal.
Hey, Vegas is a city, you know.
So,
if we rewind for a minute, we skipped a few steps.
Yeah, let's go. Let's start from the beginning.
So in Montana, you know, my colleague Jason and I both got involved in the space in 2008.
Okay.
Saw a huge opportunity. So, you know, we're pretty aggressive individuals. We both blew it up pretty aggressive for Montana standards.
Sure.
You know, I think I had 15,000 feet of cultivation, 3,000 plants.
Okay.
For Montana, nice. Was big.
Nice. How many years ago was that?
That was in 08.
Oh, wait, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were 23 years old, Matt?
That's right.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What kind of strains were you rocking back then?
Oh, man, I had the DJ Shorts Blueberry. Oh, I had the Granddaddy the Perps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So shout out to Ken Estes.
The original Blue Dream. Yeah. All the original OG stuff.
Yeah. One of my favorite of all times is the Shishka Berry. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was the blueberry crossed with the Afghani.
Yeah.
And it's real hard to find those fucking old school buds that are big and fucking puffy, like the hardcore.
The 2 liter bottle buds, right?
Yeah. Bigger than your fucking arm.
Yeah.
But when you dried it though, it would shrink, you know, like, because those indicas would, like, fucking shrink
suck up.
Yeah, suck it up. But they were the most crystally, bombest. You guys have any, you pulling in any kind of shit like that in your place or no?
All of it's so bred up, right? So, like, I've been hunting for a good genetic of GDP, even. I can
hook you up with Ken for sure, the originator of the GDP.
There you go. I appreciate
I'm from
that.
The mountains, this. Like,
there you go.
Come over. I got 25 years, bro. All over the place with everybody. We'll have some good conversations together.
So you started in the grow. You're 23 years old. Tell us a story that kept you up at night.
So one time I was growing in these big totes that were like 100-gallon totes, and I was growing a bunch of plants in each tote. And I was like, well, you know, the roots have room to grow. It'll make the plants grow more aggressively. So I'm growing in these large totes, and it's one big flowering room. So
how many
there was
gallons?
There were over 100-gallon totes, and I was growing.
Wow.
I was growing
big boys.
But I didn't realize a controlled environment at that point, right? Like, you want to control everything to the 10th degree. So I was in these big, like, they were horse troughs, is what they were, on wheels. And there was a bunch of lights in there. I think I had probably had like 100 flowering lights in that one room.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, what are you guys doing? There's no CO2. I'm like, there's like, well, we don't want to run CO2, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck that. We're turning on the CO2 burners. So we fire up the CO2 burners, and that whole room, it was in week 6.5 of flower.
The
and
nugs
it,
probably it, went out of control.
No, it died. In,
no.
It died in 2.5 days.
Oh, man.
And what happened was, after I went back and looked, I didn't realize at the time, but the root zone takes an oxygen, right?
Yeah.
So that CO2 settled in those big totes and suffocated every plant in that room.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so what was the silver lining learning lesson, Matt?
I never did that again.
but let me ask you something, though. There is advantages of pumping not to, like, an extreme amount. Some CO2 into the air, right? Or no?
Oh, of course. I mean, it'd be like us being able to breathe in 4 times more oxygen with each breath.
Sure.
We'd perform it at a whole nother level, right? Because you'd have so much more oxygen being delivered to your muscles, through blood, so on and so forth. The canopy in your greenhouse or your indoor grow is no different.
Yeah.
So normally in my indoor cultivations, I'll run the CO2 during the day at, you know, about 4 times what the normal atmospheric rate is.
Okay, that's cool.
And I see about, you know, 20% increase in yields normally.
How many lights you pulling in the facility you guys have now?
I currently don't have a facility,
but my last one,
one facility at 3,000.
3,000, nice.
So
nice.
Matt, tell us about the launch from sort of rogue grower to capitalist entrepreneur icon.
So we were still we were still following the book in Montana, had a bunch of patients, you were allowed to grow 6 plants for each patient, so on and so forth. Well, legislation saw what was happening. I think in Missoula, by the time they put the kibosh on us, there was over 60 dispensaries in a town of 65,000 people.
Wow.
So that's one dispensary for every 1,000 people.
Wow.
Like in Ohio, for example, it's one dispensary for every 250,000 people, the program they're rolling out. So
damn.
There was a huge concentration of storefronts, which angered the conservative Montanans, right?
Sure,
wow,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so legislation called an emergency session in 2010, and they changed the laws saying you could only have 3 patients or grow 18 plants. I'm like, well, this isn't going to work for me.
Nah, absolutely.
So I shut her down, and I looked around the country to where I felt would have the most lucrative program where I could really scale.
Okay.
And it was Arizona at the time. They were only giving out 126 licenses in the whole state of 6.5 million people plus tourism, right? Went down there, started a chain of hydroponic stores.
Okay, that's a good way.
Be
the picks and the motherfucking
that's
shovel.
That's right. So that's how I networked with all the cultivators and the scene down there.
The only thing though is, I really thought Arizona was going to fucking take off like Nevada in this, and they
would have passed rec.
What the fuck happened, man? And then they almost felt like they went backwards afterwards. I almost felt like they got more hardcore afterwards. It was weird.
You got to remember, they still have almost 200,000 patients in their medical program.
That's incredible.
So that's the third
a big number.
That's the third largest program in the country, next to California and Michigan.
Sure. How many does Cali have?
2 million, roughly. Wow. They don't know exactly because no one keeps track.
Yeah, no,
it's California.
Yeah.
Come on. But they estimate to be between 2 million and 2.5 million people are cardholders.
So tell
in
us the story about the creation of Reef, the name, the branding, because you guys have just done an extraordinary job.
I went to Arizona, ended up with one license, started raising capital. I think I raised about $7 million privately when I was 26.
And give us an idea, for the listeners out there. Was that mostly friends and family? Were you going to venture folks?
I had mentors that were old.
Did you have a professional team around you?
Yeah, so I brought mentors in early on to help me really turbocharge what I was any effort I was doing.
Mentors out there in the world.
Thank you for all my mentors.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be here without you.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
So I think anyone that's trying to get to a goal or an end result should definitely have mentors and advisors. But with that being said, I started Bloom, opened up 4 retail locations in Arizona, went from 0 to $1 million a month in revenue in less than a year, had about 120 employees, and I started to get a lot of attention from private equity guys and from family offices.
Absolutely.
So fast forward to first quarter of 14, and I ended up becoming very close to the family office, and they were like, hey, let us buy Bloom.
Okay.
And then we'll turbocharge this thing and pump a bunch of capital into let you scale nationally.
Were they a Colorado family office?
No, Florida.
Florida, okay.
So I was like, okay. So we came in. My original investors wanted crazy returns on their money.
Sure.
Family office was like, we're not
doing it. Big surprise.
Yeah, weird. So the family office was like, we're not doing that. So basically they made me a crazy offer to start Nuco. And I took the offer and resigned to walk from Bloom.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
signed everything over to my partner.
Okay, and you do that, and then what happens?
So I end up signing a contract with the family office. We just created a partnership.
Okay.
And March of 14, we formed Trike, which was the holding company that was for Reef.
Okay, sweet.
So that was March of 14.
And how big is that facility?
So there's 6 retail.
Okay.
2 cultivation.
Okay.
And then 2 extraction labs.
Now, how big are the cultivation facilities?
The one in Las Vegas is 165,000 feet.
Damn.
And that's 2 blocks off the strip.
Damn. So to give the layman, let's just break this down, because millions of people listen to Purple Haze Radio from around the world in the cars.
Okay.
A lot of people listening to us on the Dash Radio platform.
There you go.
Which is competing with XM now these days. You got a lot of people that are interested in this and they're listening and they have no idea about like what we're talking about in a sense. Like, how do you break down how fucking big this is of a facility and how much weed essentially and plants are growing in a facility like that?
So let me try to figure out something that everyone would know. It'd be like
this room.
How big is a Walmart?
Yeah, so a Walmart's about 125 to 150,000 feet. Like a super Walmart.
Okay, so as big as a super Walmart.
Yes.
Right? And in this bud-sized super Walmart, how many plants or lights are going in there?
You're
going
to be running, 3,200 lights roughly.
And you're talking about at least a P or two per light, right?
Yeah, we were averaging about 2.7.
Oh, my God. Hydro, or what were you doing?
Yeah,
tables?
Cocoa drip to waste.
Okay.
I saw that early on in about 2010, 2011, and it was some of the best pot I'd ever seen. So I was like, perfect, I'll run with this system.
So you think the tables are the best way to go?
I do for indoor cultivating, yeah.
Okay.
One of my facilities I did Rockwell and the other one I did Cocoa, but they were both drip to waste. I've seen some of the best bud in the world come out of those systems.
And you think the cocoa is the best or no?
It depends on what you're trying to achieve.
Sure.
If you're looking for more leeway as far as, I think cocoa gives you a better buffer for more mistakes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I think cocoa is more, I would think of Rockwell as more of the Ferrari,
you
right?
You gotta be real on it. Like a motherfucker with Rockwell.
Your life support systems better be dialed, because if you have one AC go down, that whole room's going down.
And if mold or this,
anything,
in the water, you're talking about knocking out. And this is another thing. It's not that easy.
No.
Let's talk about it. Somebody goes in their garage, even tries to do 6 or 12 plants, throws in a light, this. It is a lot of work. And then talk about trying to manage that for 2,000 plus lights. I mean, that's fucking insane. And then when you have something go bad, you can almost have a whole room go out or fucking lose a whole section, right? And comparatively, I mean, that's million. Could be a loss of millions
easily,
right?
Yeah.
And have you had that happen in the trial and errors of doing the things you've done? Have you had some outrageous situations where there's a major fuck up, and then all of a sudden, boom, you walk in, and it's like, oh God.
Yeah. So I've definitely lost 7-figure crops for sure.
Oh wow. Man. And wow. How hard is that on the brain and the soul?
I think it's harder on the P&L, but yeah.
Sure. Well, let's talk about, I mean, that kind of a loss. What are the things that you've learned that could have been in place, whether technology, manpower, security, to prevent that going forward?
That should never happen, but in my defense, I was the first person that I know of to stand up a 1,800-ton centralized chilling system to cool my whole facility. So I had to work out the kinks of a centralized chilling system versus conventional AC.
Plus, you're never going to, how are you going to figure out, lights like that are hot.
They're 550-degree fireballs, each one of them.
Yeah. And then you put 2,000 in the room and you're going to try to cool them.
This is fucking sun. Cool the sun, guys.
That's basically what you're trying to do is an artificial sunlight. Like, you have to cool all of those little fireballs.
And you got
to
make sure the ladies are happy.
You got,
if
you
those
know,
little ladies are not happy and feeling all luscious,
they're not
going to
put out for you.
No.
So let's talk a little bit about some branding and marketing. I love names. I love stories behind how things are brought up.
Okay.
It's sort of ironic and funny. I mean, I love your name, but it doesn't really go with Nevada. I mean, if you were in Australia, I think the Reef is really fucking cool.
And
but the Reef
in
Nevada, I mean, I didn't see much coral when I was there last time.
So I'm a big fan of saltwater reef aquariums, and I was trying to come up with a name for the storefronts or the face, and I was sitting in my conference room, and I had a huge saltwater aquarium in there, like a, you know, a few hundred gallons.
Wow.
And I was staring at it, and I was like, reefer, blah, blah, blah.
I
like
that. I get it.
I thought of the reefer.
Now
and then I was
it.
Like, but the regulators would hate reefer,
okay.
So I'll make it reef with a modern aqua twist,
tell
right?
Tell me by the way you the way you already said this, and was this in Vegas?
No, this was in Phoenix.
Okay, because you've heard of those guys in Vegas that are like the most famous aquarium guys, right?
Tanked.
The tanked fucking
guys.
So
I had a few meetings with them about putting a shark tank
cool
in the reef.
Wow.
Yeah. And it never went anywhere.
No, it was like a 7-figure endeavor.
People
so
have done it in their house, dude.
Yeah.
Rich motherfuckers have paid these guys to have shark things rolling through their fucking house. And they do these aquariums, bro, unlike anything you could ever. Like the stuff in Caesar's Palace that you see in the big aquarium, the shit in back of Mirage, like all that stuff. They do all that shit. But they mainly do it for a lot of private home. That's where they're a lot of their installations.
There is nothing more beastie or macho than walking into somebody's house and seeing a fucking shark in the living room.
Right.
That is badass.
And so the tank had to be a minimum 30 feet long because the sharks swim hot laps. They can't stop swimming.
Sure.
So like the amount of infrastructure to put in for one of those babies is it was much more capital intensive than I originally anticipated.
And what would they charge for a shark? Just like hypothetically. Like how do you fucking...
It depends on the size, but you're probably talking...
Well, Andrew would want a Meg, for sure.
50 to 200. Okay.
Wow.
20,000.
Wow.
For like a, you know, let's call it a between a 2 and a 6 foot hammerhead.
Wow. Wow. How many dispensaries are there in Vegas? I mean, in like Nevada that you guys would cover? Or do you only sell through your thing? Or how does that work?
No, so Reef had 2 dispensaries in Vegas, 2 dispensaries in Reno, and then 2 in Phoenix.
So everything you grow there...
Has to stay.
It has to stay and be sold in your specific places, or can you...
You can wholesale to the other dispensaries.
Now, do you guys do that or no?
A little bit.
A little bit. But do you really not need to? Because, I mean... Is this supply? Do you have overflow or no?
I left Reef in November. I resigned as CEO in November of 17.
Sure.
But when I was still operating the entity, we were consuming most of what we were doing.
Wow.
What kind of volume was that? Explain to us.
Volume as far as...
As flour.
Flour was... I mean, we were burning through, you know, a few thousand pounds a month easily.
Wow. How awesome
is
that?
We were pumping out, I think... 75,000 cartridges a month for vapes.
Incredible. Incredible. How many strains?
We were running about 60 strains actively in the throughput process of the perpetual harvesting. And then I had about 400 genetics in my locker.
That is a big number. That is fantastic.
And, you know, I worked with Burner and Wiz and all those guys. So that...
And they're cool guys,
man.
For
sure.
You know,
for sure.
They definitely... I got to give props to Burner because...
He's a hard-working motherfucker, bro.
We've been
bro.
Doing a lot of celebrity branding, and I know him as a great fucking dude. the smartest thing I think that he did was, out of a lot of artists, had the ingenuity, let's say, to know ahead of time to create that Cookies brand. Started it with clothing and this, and started the shop, and kind of like created this crushing, like, cool-ass brand around what he was about to do. And he was one of the first rappers to really get what it's like to license their IP than just make money on performing. So shout out to him for definitely getting the balls to break the mold, and then ran with it like a motherfucker. And he ran with it. He's hitting all the motherfuckers, branding it out and shit. So definitely props, but that's what we do too. We're in the same crew.
There you go.
Doing the same thing. We're still shout out to all those guys.
Uncle Burn.
Absolutely, absolutely. For sure.
So,
and your associate, I don't want to leave him in the dust. Why don't you say hello? Come on.
So my name is Jason Washington. I've been in the space since 2008. Started with Matt in Montana. Grew up in Oakland, California. Went to Montana to play football and some other retail business ventures. Kind of catapulted me into the cannabis industry when things started to pick up right in that 04 to 08 window.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Are you guys working together essentially, or?
Now.
Now we're full force.
Full
together.
Force. All right,
back
yeah.
then we had two different business models, right? But it was more of an arm's length type of thing.
Definitely. Now meeting of the minds, right?
Yeah. Now it's like we need to come together because this thing got a whole lot more sophisticated.
Absolutely.
Culmination of the A team, right?
How's your feelings about Trump and all this stuff I've been reading lately? Now I'm all of a sudden wanting to get a little gangster against
I'm really actually secretly enjoying the conflict between Sessions and Trump.
Really?
I don't know. I personally, this is my personal opinion, but I think Session might be on his way out.
Okay.
I don't think it's just your personal opinion. I think our dearly beloved president has made that a point.
Right.
And I think Sessions is reaching a point of saying, do I really need this shit?
Right.
You know, no matter what you think of him.
Is it really worth it?
Yeah. I mean, he's a reasonably intelligent guy. He could probably make a heck of a lot, 10x money that he's making now.
For sure.
And he's got 11 grandkids, and he's an older guy. Does he really need this shit on a daily basis?
Right. No. If I were him, I would not want anything to do with it.
My guess is that he's out by the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I always say, as a business guy, I mean, a guy like me, Michael Miller, could not be in the space where I am right now if I had a fight with Budweiser and Philip Morris.
Right.
You know? The government has given me a built-in monopoly against the big guy. And
Absolutely.
That normally doesn't happen in capitalism. But the dream for everybody out there, including you, is to go for it. It's America. And in 3 to 5 years, be the guys that the big guys are going to call when the federal legal cap comes off.
Exactly.
So now are you guys rocking Cali? You just bailed Vegas or Nevada, came over here.
So
tell me what's up.
I moved full time to LA in January.
Okay.
And then I called Jason. He was living up in the Bay. And I was like, yo, why don't you come down here? It actually took me a few months to actually talk him into coming down just for the weekend.
Sure.
And then after that weekend, he's like, all right, I'll be there next week.
All right.
So, it took a little bit of coaxing. But once he saw what was going on down here, he's like, man, I got to get in on this.
And what's going down?
So have you decided to do a hostile acquisition of Southern California now?
So I'm just currently working on my next big play. I'm going to be in two different verticals. I'm doing a CBD play, pure play.
Sweet.
And then also one more cannabis play. I want to do a conglomerate of cannabis, and I want to make it a worldwide play. Obviously, there's fire hoses of cash right now. Capital as
sure.
Canopy, Constellations, Aurora, and some others have showed us, right?
So, oh, yeah.
I think the time is now to really capitalize. I think we have a 3 to 5 year window, as Mr. Miller said.
That's how I feel.
And,
yeah.
So I think it's pedal to the metal for the next 3 to 5 and see where we land.
When you talk about a worldwide play, how do you break out from just being a commodity with the difficulty in crossing state lands as a brand and the multiple restrictions? Well, no export allowed in the United States of any flower or any other cannabis-related product.
So,
are you looking at international licenses or doing some things overseas?
Yes.
Fantastic.
So you have to be very crafty right now, because the way you structure things are ultimately going to play an integral part of your roll-up strategy in 3 to 5. And so everything's so fragmented right now, and everything has to be very isolated to its geographic location. And so with that being said, it's even more important on how you structure it, right? Because you're going to have an entity in California, maybe two or three, depending on how much business you're doing in each area. California is its own country. I mean,
oh,
Jesus.
Yeah.
And so
fifth largest.
I love LA because I feel like LA is the heartbeat of cannabis, and I feel like most of the trends for the world will be set in LA, just like Hollywood.
Yeah, fifth largest economy in the world, they say.
Right. Literally. So I mean, you can't ignore California. It's the biggest. It's the biggest stage for cannabis.
Yeah, it's rolling out and
for
stuff.
Sure.
So I look forward. I'm glad that you're kicking in here in Cali with us, because that's probably got to start where the biggest place is, right?
Absolutely, and then you know, branch out from there.
Yeah, well, kudos to you, a young kid, smart.
Thank you.
I imagine you didn't go to Harvard or Yale, right?
I made it 10 days in college.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I wish I only made it 10 days and had no success.
You know what? That just tells you a few things. One, everybody listening out there, just always remember that if you really believe and you really want to try, even if you don't have the ups in life, let's say, that a lot of people get to have, you can always make something of yourself and be successful. If you're happy, if you're healthy, if you have good people around you, and you want to be, pull in what I call a good law of attraction, a good positiveness, then a lot of positive things can happen. And it seems like you've definitely done what you needed to do to position yourself in those places, man. And definitely props up for doing that and being a part of the trip.
What would be the three or four points that you would give to those listeners out there who aren't going to college and are not real happy? The dumb guys like a Mark Zuckerberg that drops out of college.
Yeah, all those idiots out there.
In looking back, what would you tell your son or daughter, the three most important things?
So I started reading books early on. I started reading Tony Robbins when I was 12. And it reprogrammed my brain to actually think properly on how things really should be versus getting put in a box and then, working a 9-to-5 and then retiring and passing away. So I trained myself early on. So the things I would recommend to any young person that wants to be very successful is, number one, I probably wouldn't go to college. Just being straight up and honest. I would find very good high-level mentors and coaches and advisors.
Yeah, talk about that. People don't understand. Like, when we just kicked around the word mentor, people probably think, oh, does that mean I have to be in school to have a mentor? Because that's, like, the layman way of, like...
No. So a mentor can be someone that you meet with daily, that you meet with weekly, that you meet with monthly. It's someone that has done what you want to do and you look up to them as a person.
Awesome.
And they're willing to share their knowledge and help you through the journey of life without an ulterior motive.
Do you have any mentors out there you'd like to give a shout-out to?
Oh man, I have a lot.
Go for it. Go ahead. Throw them out.
One of my first mentors when I was in my early 20s, Harold Schiffman. Shout out to that guy. He's in his 70s now.
Out to Harold, brother.
Never be where I'm at without him. I got Steve Lamar. He's the original founder of Beats. So.
Okay. Oh, nice. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So shout out to him. My boy Doug, but I can't say his last name because he's one of the managing partners of a very big financial firm in this country that everyone knows.
Yo, Doug, whoever you are.
Shout out, brother.
Shout out to you.
Shout out.
Absolutely.
Larry Martin, he's the founder of Field & Stream. He's one of my closest advisors. So.
Okay, sweet.
So I've compiled, a small dream team behind me.
That's what you got to do.
And I bounce ideas off these guys on the daily.
And they all have different areas of expertise that you mentor, or do they have a lot of similarities?
They have similarities because I feel like most successful people have similarities, but they're all very different in their crafts as well.
Okay.
So they all bring different things to the table, but they have similarities in the way how persistent they were.
Sure.
How they were, how they disrupted industries.
Absolutely.
How they were willing to go the extra mile above and beyond the competition.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of similarities they all have to get to the top. But
absolutely.
At the same time, they're all very different in their own aspect.
That's cool. And, what are some of your, just to throw off after being in the industry and trying so many of the fabulous nugs out there to the world, what are some of your favorite strains personally if you were to kick back and smoke?
So I've been smoking a lot of gelato lately.
Okay.
Which is,
Shabinsky's. Shout out to Shabinsky's.
Yeah, I know Sherbs. What up,
yeah.
Sherbs?
What up?
Shout out.
Absolutely.
So I got to give him props on the gelato.
They did the mochi for our packs when we originally did it.
Okay.
Yeah, and they did it right before they gave it out to anybody, so we were the first ones to have them in our pre-rolls. Yeah, so it's fucking great.
I also love any super high-end OG. I'm a big indica guy, so any earthy hardcore OG, I'm all in.
Into the earthy.
Are you smoking indica during the day?
No, I don't smoke.
Okay,
I don't
good,
smoke
good,
during the day.
Because I don't want our listeners to think that you built a multi-million-dollar business doing OGs during the day.
Just to be clear,
yes.
I don't consume cannabis products before 8 p.m.
Okay.
That That's fantastic.
But then I get ripped after 8. So anyone wants to come smoke with me, it's got to be after 8.
Now, Andrew, it's almost like one initial is different. You have an A instead of a P, right?
Yeah, exactly. And me, it's like an IV for my fucking blood. I can smoke all day long, so it's really...
There you go.
And I still do what I got to do, you know what I'm saying? And you guys do what you got to do.
I wish I could function like that, being high. I drop too many balls, so I got to be on my A game during the day.
We don't want to give the world the impression that the cannabis plant can have the effect of causing people to drop balls, do we?
Well, no. It's just, I guess I'm an anomaly in the fact that I'm juggling 44 balls right now.
Thank you.
Hate to drop.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I take on a lot more than one human should, so that's my, you know.
Because I find when I smoke, the only thing I'll do, and Andrew knows, we have a rule on my show, only sativa allowed.
Okay.
No indicas allowed.
That gets people talking more, too.
Yeah, we need people to focus on my show.
Absolutely. Okay.
So it's a sativa-only rule. Wow. But if I'll have a couple of sativa, I can myopically focus.
Really?
Like, I never have in my life. I can sit at my computer and write or do something creative for 9 hours, not pee or eat until somebody taps me on the shoulder and says, Michael, don't you think you got to go to the bathroom or grab something to eat? It's crazy for me.
We on the Wake and Bake show, on my show, of course, we fucking smoke everything.
Okay.
You know what? It doesn't even have to be cannabis. Sometimes the landscaper will cut the grass, and just for the fun of it, Tila will bring some in and put it in a pre-roll for
him. We got whatever we want, man. We got going on.
There you go.
Sure,
there you go. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done my fair share of day smoking, but Monday through Friday, you know, 8 to 7 or 8, I'm usually pretty sober.
Yeah, we got the
oils. That's a good move.
That's
waxes.
A good move.
Smart
we got
thing.
Some nice pieces over at the office.
Some okay.
Cool,
some
heady,
rigs.
Heady glass pieces.
Yeah.
I like flower myself. I'm not as much of a...
I'm a more flower guy, too.
Yeah, I'm more in the purist, old school and shit.
Yeah.
And definitely love the old school bubble hash and shit.
Okay.
The stuff that's made real good.
Oh
yeah. I used to sit up in the fucking hills
the
up in Northern Cali and do that shit with the bubble bags and the fucking whole...
That culture right there.
Oh,
that's all culture.
That is a culture right there.
For sure.
That was. Oh,
that's a way of life.
It still will be.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to change.
No. It's like moonshine. It's still around,
absolutely.
Right? In Kentucky. I was just in Kentucky, so that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, people still make fucking, you know, beer at home and this and everything else, you know.
Basement craft brews, right?
Shit, I got a couple nice little ladies, up on my fucking balcony and shit.
There
you
go.
Know? Always got to have a little fun, a little good genetics.
Yeah.
I got a sour banana sherbet, real bomb I'm growing right now.
That
and
sounds
then,
amazing.
Yeah, then a Jedi Kush, which was old school Sensi Star crossed with a couple of things. It was originally called the Death Star. High Times had way back in the day.
I remember that strain.
That's what I shout out to my boy Joe, Death Star, fucking guys that started out that strain, absolutely. And that motherfucker held on to it for like 10 years. He finally started giving seeds out, so we actually started putting that shit out. And then we're growing a Mandarin cough, which is the Jedi cross with the strawberry cough.
Oh,
which
I love the original strawberry cough, by the way.
Shout out to Kyle Cushman,
my man. That's a buddy of mine. What's up, Cush?
Actually, Kyle's going to be doing a show on our network also. It's
really?
Kyle Cushman show. Yeah, we just signed him
because
he's over in Woodland Hills.
That's
where
sick.
We are. I've known Kyle for like 15 years or so, 20 years. I got the cough back from him back in the day in the late 90s when
really?
He was growing it. Yeah, I was one of the lucky people that...
Wow, that's crazy.
I grew hooked up with the cough. But the one thing, I love the cough, but it was never like the strongest grower.
No.
But bomb. It was like people didn't want to grow it because they're like, oh shit,
it's
only
finicky.
Get like a QP or a cig or whatever it is. Not a lot of the plant, but it was so bomb.
Fire. Especially for its day and age, like it was the shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll definitely have to throw some over to you guys. Or
yeah,
you guys
we should get with Kyle and get with Cushman and go smoke.
Anytime you want, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He'll be down for sure.
He's always down.
Yeah. You come on our show, go on Michael's show, jump on Kyle's show.
Well, Matt, give me a promise because you're a great guy.
Oh, anytime. Anytime you guys will have me.
When you are ready to rock and roll with your new brand and your new company, we promise to come and talk to us about what you're doing.
100% I'm in.
Fantastic.
Hell yeah.
Great to see you there, my friend.
Do you have a
congratulations
website?
On all your success.
Yeah, so my Instagram, if you want to follow my journey, is the Matthew Morgan. And then I have a website, MatthewLeeMorgan.com. So if you want to follow what I'm up to, keep current events going.
And you're on Facebook too?
I am, just Matt Morgan.
Okay.
And then
great.
You, my man, any websites, this, anybody want to reach out to you?
Same deal. You can follow me on Instagram, the Jason D. Washington. everything on our journey is all documented right there. Me and Matt, we keep up with it pretty.
And then I also launched a vlog 5 weeks ago called Never Sell Dope.
Okay.
And where do we find it?
Just type in, go to YouTube and type Never Sell Dope and you'll see it.
Yeah, we just had Freeway Rick Ross on Saturday and shit.
Oh.
And that was a fun fucking show.
It doesn't get better than that.
Right? Yeah. It doesn't get much better than that.
Do you have a shout out to my brother, to anybody you want to give a shout out to?
No, I just follow that NSD vlog that we've got, and it'll kind of keep you up to date on what we're doing. We're working on some exciting stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then what's your thoughts, man? I know that coming down to the glass shows is a lot different than these business shows that you guys roll to that we usually do and stuff. I was a little surprised seeing you rolling around and stuff. Like, what's up? What made you come into the big show?
There was a few people here I wanted to come say what up to.
Okay.
And, you know, I embrace the culture, whether it's flower or glass or CBD or terpenes.
Absolutely.
I'm all about all parts of the plant and, you know, the ancillary businesses as well. So I'll support any show that revolves around the cannabis plant.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. Props, and definitely good to and anybody out there, when you get a chance, take a look at the Big Industry Show. Check out what we got going down. You know, Gustavo, the guy who does the show, does it every year. He does them in L.A., does them in Miami, does them in Colorado, gets all different glass blowers from around the country who have some pretty cool works. So you get to see different types of contraptions and what the new things are in the industry that you get to smoke your wonderful cannabis and weed out of. Hope you guys are enjoying. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us,
and
man.
Coming
we
and
appreciate
hanging
it.
With us at the Convention Center. And all you guys listening out there, remember to check out purplehaze-radio.com and download Dash Radio on your phone, or check it out in all the new models of cars that we have out there playing Dash Radio. And just remember to check out all our 27 zones of music. Different zones that play every hour, our cannabis talk shows that play at different times, our live concerts, and featured DJs that we have doing one-hour sets from all over the world. Thank you guys for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to seeing you guys soon. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.